in your Bible, turn to John chapter 17. And in our study of the book of Jeremiah, we are reminded and over again that Nebuchadnezzar is on his way down to destroy Jerusalem, and the Israelites are not interested in looking to God at all for any help. They just aren't interested. And thus they're going to suffer the consequences. And so God, Israel was meant to be a nation to the nations, to let the world know that God happened to be who he was, and that he had a wonderful saving solution to their need of life in the state of death. They needed life. And in the process of that, they had all the sacrifices that would come and point to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Now, in the light of that, all of that God is doing for his glory and his honor. And all of it, of his saving, of his caring, of his involvement, of his persistent warnings and mercy and everything else. All of that is because of who he is. It isn't because of who we are. It's because of who he is. So now, in John chapter 17, in our Lord's prayer, which is the really prayer, more than Matthew 6, and in John 17 is the Lord's prayer, if you would, and in the process he prays it gives us an understanding of what it's all about in a very nutshell. John 17, and picking up, please, if I can, in verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, reason, that thy Son may glorify thee. And the word glorify has to do to have a right value, estimate, worth, so that you are estimating and valuing, and it is what you're estimating and valuing is so impressive. It makes an impression upon you in such a way because of the glory of it, because of the grandeur of it, because of the greatness of it. And thus, you have to be caught up in the overwhelmingness of it. It makes an impression. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to show God, a glorious God, which he did. And thus, you couldn't look at him, know him, honor him, understand him without coming to grips with God. And God is glorious. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to make and glorify God in his perfect humanity, to glorify God in his perfect deity. Now, in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth and have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So I came from God, I'm going back to God. And in the process, God, I have finished what my assignment was to show you a perfect man trusting God in a full dependence and perfect way. That's what it's all about, that God would be glorified. And he, the Creator, would get all the credit for his creation. No one else would step in and take over that which belonged to him. And thus no flesh should glory in his presence. So now, in John chapter 17, going to verse 22, God, what did you do? The Lord Jesus Christ provided for us. And the glory, verse 22, which thou gavest me, I have given them. And the reason we are able to participate in this great grandeur, glorious work of God is because he has given us, verse 22, the glory I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. So the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, perfect Savior, God is able now to provide in your heart and mind, if you're saved, God is able to provide a wonderful, wonderful relationship to him, and he gets all the glory. God is going to be glorified as God. He's your creator. He is your redeemer. And as you allow him and have him do that in your life, you benefit. Obviously, you're going to benefit from God being the same as our Lord in his perfect humanity, dependent on God the Father 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he did so. And his whole life is a marvel. You read his life as of growing up. We don't have much on that. But the 3.5 years of his public ministry were glorious, wonderful, and awesome in a world that was hostile to him. So now, having said that, and sliding over, and in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why? Why are we expecting the Lord to come? And we're looking for God, and the glory that you have now, if you exercised it, is going to be amplified and fulfilled then in a wonderful way. Verse 24, that where I am, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So I want them to see the glory. And we want to be able to understand that that which you're going to discover, if you're saved, is something you could have participated in down here. Whether you did or not, but it was. Now, having said that, chapter 17, verse 3. 17 and in verse 3. And right in the middle of all of this is a statement in verse 3. This is eternal life that he has given us. What is eternal life? That they, believing heart, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is a wonderful experience, a wonderful enjoyment of another person, namely God. A wonderful, wonderful eternal life is to know and honor God by way of honoring his Son in a most wonderful way. Eternal life is to know God. Got that part? Now you're ready. Back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 9, you would recall. Jeremiah 9, going, if I can, to verse 23, which we did. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. And the word glory there has to boast, has to be a boasting, different than the word you just looked at in John 17, different word, a boasting, a sending it out, we share together, sending out the vibration of riches and wealth, whatever you're looking at or trying to say, your riches, wisdom, strength, and out it goes, reflexive, and it comes back in. So out it goes to show itself, and it comes back in, reflexive. Now, so that, don't glory in self, witches, and that's what they were doing. Everyone has that last-minute hope, that last-minute resolve that somehow, something, in some way, will save us from something, somehow, and that there is a solution. And we don't know it, but we hope so, and we, in desperation, hang on to it. What were they doing in Jerusalem? They're hanging on to a desperate, desperate solution. that isn't going to happen. They're trusting in themselves in some way or fashion, trusting in the rich, trusting in the wisdom, trusting in someone's knowledge, and it just isn't going to happen. Don't do that. Don't glory and boast. Don't count on what the program people say. Don't do that. And here we are in our very special time in our world right now with ISIS and all of that stuff and trying to figure out how to do that. And that's a very difficult thing. And actually, there is no solution to it. There isn't any because, yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to go fight ISIS in an Islamic country that already believes in the Quran. That's what they do. Are they going to change about Israel? Oh, no. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to get the bad guy from, keep the bad guy from the bad guys. Protect the bad guys from the bad guy. And hopefully it'll come out all right. And it's, anyway, you know all this stuff better than I do. It's futile. All I could do is look at the map. There's no, anyway, it's a dumb, anyway, but we're free because I don't expect to be around. I just hope they get busy doing everything fast enough here so that we can go. That's all I can say. I'm not going to stop it, so I might as well speed it up. And going to pray something. I'll pray and get God, make it, do it. Do what you're doing because it'll help us. Now, having said that, don't trust in the flesh. Don't do that. Now you come to verse 24. But, on contrast to trusting self, don't let him that glorieth, there's the same word, glory in this. Don't you, what to do, let him that glorieth glory in this. Verse 24. What is that? What are we supposed to be projecting out and sending back? God, we're going to honor you. And it comes back and honors you. That which we watch, we throw it out like an echo to honor God. And it comes right back to us. And who? Where did it come from? God. We honored the God in our heart. And out it went. And it comes right back to us, reflexive. Right back to honor the same God who we just honored. And God honors himself. Start to finish. Wow. Same causative all the way through. Now, verse 24. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. See, it's you. It's all about you, God. That's right. What about? No, it's about me. You guys want to figure out, here comes Nebuchadnezzar, here comes ISIS, here comes all of these different things in all kinds of ways. In the Ukraine and all of that, all over the China, Russia, all of them, Japan and India, all of them are there. Wow. And God, they're all there. That's right. Now you want to know how it's going to go. Well, if you want to know how Nebuchadnezzar is going to do, then why don't you look to me and I told you what's going to happen, but if you want to find my grace and mercy in this, then look to me. All right, we know what's going to happen in the world. God tells us the world, where it's going to go. Then what do we want to do in it? We don't want to sit and watch the news and get discouraged or wondering how they're going to do it when they can't do it. Really, can't do it. Not their way. It isn't going to work that way. And now what are we going to do? We're going to look to God. God, we're going to have to look to you. That's right. You want to know how it's going to come out? Look to me. So you don't worry about it, you don't wonder, you look to me. If you look, they aren't going to figure it out. They're going to do what the devil wants and the rest of the system wants. And I'm going to let it happen. But you need to look to me. Look to me. No, I didn't ask you to look to anyone else. I didn't ask you to look to a solution. I asked you to just to understand me and know me. Now, how does that work? Now, in the light of understanding, to be marked by sound, practical judgment, to behave with wisdom, to behave with understanding, to have understanding, and the verbs you can't get them, what they are, knowing and understanding, are absolute, they're very, it stands out, just a word, understand, know, nothing's with it, understand, know. What does that mean? Well, It means it gives it great dramatic energy, active, dramatic, full of force, full of intensity. Understand! Know! Know what? Me. Force to it. Full of life. Excitement is the word, is the verb. Wow. Now, in the light of that, he that understandeth and knoweth me. So understanding to behave very, very wisely. Now, you don't have to turn there, but you will remember in Genesis chapter 3, Eve went and the devil said, you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be wise, know good and evil like God does. And Eve said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, you don't have to turn there. Eve said, hey, listen, if we eat this tree, of this fruit of this tree, we'll be wise. We'll be wise. We're able to be wise. We're able to be independent. God, we don't have to trust in our dependency. We can trust in God. God's God. We don't have to trust God, I should say. We can trust in ourselves. We don't have to be fully dependent on God. And in addition, not only to be independent of God, but it has a hostile thing that we don't need. We can be in opposition to you, God. The devil who's telling us this, he doesn't have to be in, he isn't in agreement with you. Why do we have to be in agreement with you? So, to make one wise. So, she took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you know what happened. They became very unwise. They didn't understand, is the word. They didn't become wise. They became unwise. They didn't have understanding. So now, having said that, Psalm 14. What you're doing is trying to capture the expression, the term, Psalm 14. Understand. And in Psalm 14, picking up, if I may, over in verse 1, as you know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. There's your word. And seek God. God looked. It says, does anyone understand? Is anyone smart enough, perception enough, to know that I'm God? Everything, all the creation, flowers, birds, bugs, bees, and I'm here, the creator, the designer, and I'm here. Is anyone paying attention to that? Is anyone wanting to understand, then seek me. Understand, therefore seek God. Understanding and know me. Is anyone interested? That's what I want to know. I'm the creator. There is no other creator. There is no other savior. There is no other God. Over, if you would please, to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, keeping in mind, here's an illustration now, trying to understand that Jeremiah is the penman to help us to understand. Here we are. We aren't going to answer the problem. We don't have the answer to the problems. They didn't have the answer to the world problems, and we don't have the answer to the world problems. But God does, and God is going to work it out, and that's what we're going to trust. And thus understand and know me. Therefore, Joshua chapter 1, picking up in verse 7, if I may, Joshua 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, reason, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. In other words, if you're going to honor me, you're going to have to be strong and courageous, because it's against your flesh, against the world, against the devil. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Reason that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The reason that thou mayest prosper. And there is the word understanding, to be wise. I want you to understand. You're going to look to me and trust me. Don't try to go to the right or left. Stay on course. Stay on the highway. Stay with me. Stay with me. Be wise. Have understanding. That's what you do. Verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think about it, let it dwell over in your mind. Therein day and night, in other words, we're resting and letting the word of God by faith work in our heart and head. Meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And here in verse 8 is the same word, thou shalt have good success, is the word understanding. Thou shalt have good success. You'll prosper. You'll be very wise. You pay attention to me and understand me, and it's going to come out all right. You're going to be very wise. You're going to have understanding. Joshua, and that's why he was mocked. God bless the man. God bless the man in a most wonderful way. There's another man that will help us over in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're going to pick up again another example for us in our encouragement and understanding. In 1 Samuel 18, here's David. Remember, David had a heart after God, and that's why God chose him, because his heart wanted to honor God. Verse 5, 18 and 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set over him the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So here's the three words, behaved himself wisely. That's what he did. He understood. He understood God. He understood God. He was going to trust God. That's all. That's how he killed the lion. That's how he killed the bear. That's how he killed Goliath. How did he do it? He didn't do it with super strength. I don't think so. I think he just trusted God, and God enabled him to do what he could have never done. And he did it, no question. And in the process, he behaved very wisely. He understood. So now, slide down to verse 14. David, here's your word again. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. So everything that David did wisely, he did it. He caused himself to pay attention to God, like Joshua. Be of good courage and pay attention to me. Be strong. And David, what did you do? You went and looked to God. And that's how you did things. You looked to God. Oh, you goofed and had a couple of blunders, no question. But God, your heart was right and you got your act right. And therefore, in all thy ways, he behaved himself wisely. And you want to add, verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David. Now, why did they love David? It wasn't David himself, no. But David, it'd be like our Lord. When our Lord went, there was blessing and healing, blessing and healing, blessing and healing, wherever he went. Power. You just wanted to be with him. You just wanted to be where he was because it was safe. It was the one where to be. Wow. Now, David, here you are, and you're looking to God. And why did Israel like you? Because, the end of verse 16, because he went out and came in before them. Now, what do you know that expression that's used again and again, especially of David? Deuteronomy chapter 28, and in verse 6, you don't have to turn there. I will bless you. You honor me and my word, and I will bless you. And when you come to, remember, in the city, out of the city, when you're carrying, when you're not carrying, when you do anything, and when you come to verse 6 in Deuteronomy 28, I'll bless your going out, and I'll bless your coming in. No matter what you do, away you go, I will bless you. Why did they like David? He was blessed of God. And he won. He didn't lose. He won. You had to be with David. You're going to win. Wow. David, that's right. Wow. Wow. Wherever he went, wow, God blessed him. Because God said he would. Honor my word and I'll bless you. Going in and coming out. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, having said that about David, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And you will note in Psalm 32, David had his unique, wonderful relationship to God, and he stumbled along, but he never stayed down. He got right up and kept going. And thus, when you come to verse 6, for this shall every man, one that is godly, pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto you, him, if we're looking to God. If thou art, verse 7, my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. That's what this is, Psalm of David. Thou shalt compass me, surround me like a city, surround me with the songs of deliverance, just being standing there and being totally surrounded. Just think of going into bed tonight and your house is totally surrounded by angels. And it could be. It could be. And there you are, totally. And everywhere, you look out, whatever window you look out, there's a wonderful, wonderful songs of victory. Song, God, are you going to save me? Say, God's going to save me. On every hand, you look out. God's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He's all we need. Ah. So now, compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now the verb that you're looking at. Verse 8, I will instruct thee. I will instruct thee. I will give thee understanding. I will make you wise. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And of course you want to read verse 9. Be not as a horse, the horse, or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, unless you coerce and do all kinds of stuff, you can't get the response. We want to be very responsive. 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 Looking to God. We don't want to have God bit and bridle and you got to pull and push and try to get the animal to do what you want it to do. The animal should just be so disciplined, so delighted, as you'll see, so delighted to honor God, that God just like Elijah doing on Sunday night. Elijah is so delighted. He's so full of God, trusting God. God, he's going to do nothing else. He's a servant, and he's waiting for waiting for whatever. God, that's what I'm going to do. Tell me what you want. I'm ready. I'm ready. In the meanwhile, I'll do whatever, but I'm ready. Wow. So now, here's David, and God has instructed him, and that's what he did. Now, another point while you're here looking at our word, here's Psalm 32, and you'll notice the title, A Psalm of David, Maskil. It's the first of the Maskil, 13 of them, Psalms. Maskil. Maskil means understanding ones. And putting it all together, just this word, you have to put the rest of it together. Understanding ones. These psalms are written to have understanding. He's written these psalms, God picked them, marked them out. Maskil, this is for you to have some special understanding. To understand. And David writes. He writes with understanding. He writes with it. Wow, Maskil. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in chapter 9 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. So we're looking and let him, verse 24. Let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth, to understand, to be wise in heart. Remember in the Psalm 2, without turning there, in Psalm 2, remember that in the second coming of our Lord, Psalm 2, and when the second coming of the Lord, and God says the kings of the earth are going to rebel, a great Armageddon, and they're going to go against God. And God's admonition, as you go down Psalm 2, come to verse 10, be wise. Now, pay attention to me. I just told you what's going to happen. Now you pay attention, kings of the earth and the rest of you. Pay attention to me. Be wise now. Understand. Understand who I am and honor me. Now, don't wait. Now, and thus, having said that a little bit for whatever, in whatever, keeping, and if you would, just when you think of that, to help you a little better with understand me. And you'll remember, without turning there, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, he that heareth the word, and understandeth it. There's your word. Do you understand? I'm giving you my word. We're trying to understand it. That's what we're doing. We aren't interested in just going through the motions. I want to know what the word means. I want to know what it means. I want to understand it. I want to be able to walk away. He glorify himself, understand and know in me. I want to understand and know. I want to walk out and put this to work. That's what I want to do. I want it in my heart, my head. Boom. I want to go with it. So now, God, and you remember in Psalm 13, Matthew 13 and 23, he that heareth my word and understandeth it is good ground, and it brings forth good fruit. So I want to understand. I don't want to be stupid about it. You don't get a prize for being stupid. I don't remember anything anywhere. I know this: God, when Christ died on the cross, he died for all your ignorance. That's true. He died for the sins of ignorance. They don't know any different. And Christ died for them. Thank God he died for them. Wow. So now, having said that, and keeping in mind, so now 9 and 24, he that understandeth and knoweth me. You need to know, the word to know, to have these use of your bodily senses, such taste, touch, sight, sight, that which you perceive something. You experience it. You experience something. To bring something by taste, by sight, by hearing, to bring it into your experience. Bring it in. It's part of you. It becomes part of you. To experience something. I want you to go and understand and know, and that's the same dynamic word as we mentioned earlier. To experience something, I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful experience of what? Of you. Of God. Not an indifference to God, but an experience of God. And that's one of the problems in our world, that we have lost the presence of God, the personal presence, and to enjoy it. So now, here in Jeremiah, just to show you, Jeremiah chapter 4, remember, in Jeremiah chapter 4, picking up if I can, in verse 22, 4 and 22. For 4 and 22, Jeremiah. For my people is foolish. They have not known, that's the word, understand and know, experience, mark it out in front of time, mark it out ahead of time, experience it with your mind and heart. For my people is foolish, they have not known me. They don't know me. They are sottish or wicked or foolish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I want you to understand and know me. But you can't do good because you don't even know me. You don't even know what good is. Good is God. God is good. But you don't have that. You don't know. Over, if you would, in chapter Oh, in chapter 5 and in verse 4, "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish. Why is that? For they have not known," there's your little word, "they have not known the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God." They just don't know me. What are you trying to tell the people, Jeremiah? What are you, for your own heart, make sure you understand and know me. Don't try to figure out the world. Don't try to figure out health and wealth and coming and going, because all of those things have dynamicness to them. They're active, wonderful, wonderful movements taking place. And thousands of pieces. And all you can do is look to me if you want to see it work out. And that's what you do. And God honors it in a most wonderful way. Now, in chapter 5, "And thus not known the way of the Lord," in verse 4, "nor the judgment of their God." Picking it up again, or if I can, in chapter 9. Chapter 9, and a little word, in verse 6. 9 and verse 6. "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit," that's where they're living, through deceit, living in deceit, by way of deceit, "they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." I don't want to know him. That's all. I don't want to know you. That's simple. That's why lots of people, "Why don't you just say so? I don't want to know him." And then you're free. Not very long, but you're free for the moment. "I don't want to know you." That's all. They can sit and learn, but "I don't want to know you." Then you won't. You won't know. "I want you to understand and know." All right? And they refuse to know me. Now, having got that part, having refused, and God wants us to know, Isaiah 1, 100 years, remember earlier, with Assyria, approximately. Isaiah chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 3. I'll read verse 2 for a little better context. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children," God said. "They have rebelled against me." How so? The ox knoweth, there's your word, "the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." They do, and there's the word used twice, "the ox doth not know, and Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." They just don't know. That's why the Assyrian captivity. They just didn't know. They didn't want to know. Isaiah chapter 45. "So I want you to understand and know me," said God. Well, they don't want to know. Well, you should. You should have a wonderful experience of me. Chapter 45 of Isaiah. Picking up, if I can, in verse 6, you'll get the idea. 45 and 6. Again, verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me," "that they may know," "from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." I want them to know. And I'm going to do it. Israel, in the coming up, you may flunk out now, but in the future, it's going to happen. And thus you slide your eye over to verse 20. "Assemble you," this is to the world now, the nations of the world, "assemble yourselves and come and draw near, ye that have escaped the nations," Jews and others, "that they have no knowledge," none, "that set up the wood of the graven image, and pray unto a God," little g, "that cannot save them at all." Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God. There's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. So it's going to happen. Every knee shall bow. In Philippians 3, going to call me, Philippians 2, going to call me Lord. Everyone. Every knee shall bow. Heaven and earth, under the earth, all going to bow. They're going to recognize I'm Lord. I want you to know, Israel, Jeremiah, I want you to know and understand that, understand and know me. I want you to know me. That's what I want. I want that very much. I wish you would know me. Now, having said that, on your way back, stop at a psalm you're familiar with, Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, may I pick up the thought? In fact, I'll do it a little differently. And verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. That's rather dynamic, dramatic, dynamic and dramatic. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Salah, they're all, when everything, it could be bad as possible, but when it is, there is, remember this, when all things look like nothing, there is something. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So don't be upset. And, thus, verse is verse 6, the heathen raged, the rage. They're all upset in an uproar about this and about that. That's what they're doing. And the kingdoms were moved, and all moved out there, this one doing that, and that one doing this, and who knows what they're going to do. Russia, China, Ukraine, Iraq, Iran, Syria, wow, Egypt, Libya, wow, line them up, wow. Big list. In fact, it's a pretty big list. We've got Venezuela and Cuba and Brazil, and man, it's a big list, I have to tell you. And so now, the heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge. Now, well, I might as well finish it. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He maketh the bow, he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder, cut it in two. He burneth the chariot in fire, so all the weaponry is out of the way. The lion lays down with the lamb. And, thus verse 10, be still, quiet, be still, and know. And there's your little word, know. Understand and know me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. What am I going to know? What's the answer? What are you doing? Know me. Stop and recognize me. Isn't that simple? Simple. What about my questions? What about my ignorance? What about my stupidity? What about everything else about all my stuff and wondering and what about this and work, home, school, play, and sickness, health, and wealth, and all of that? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to look to you, God. That's right. But that gets rather sick. You have to concentrate then. That's right. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. That's what's going to happen. So you might as well exercise the truth of it now. I want you to glorify. If you're going to glorify anything, glorify and be glorifying me and understanding and knowing that I am God. That's what I want you to do. I want you to understand who I am. And the Lord of hosts, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. He's in the refuge with the heathen are raging, and the world's doing what it does, and the tribulation's going to do what it does. But fortunately, we aren't expecting to exercise ourselves in that. And the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. And God, you help Jacob, and you help us, and here we are. And here we are. Jacob was a rascal, and God had to deal with him. And God did deal with him. He dealt with him in his grace and blessing, and God helped him. So here we are looking, and God, I want to know and understand you. That's all. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know the answer to anything. I don't need the answer. I don't know the answer. God, I have all these things that to think about and deal with, and they're there. But then there's you, God. So, stop and be still. Cease. Be still. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. You could play that, couldn't you? As we close in prayer, you can do that if you want. Be able to stop, and all the rumblings in your mind, I know they're there, all the rumblings coming and going up and down, just stop and be still, God. Just concentrate for one moment on the person and presence of God. We won't hardly hear any prayer request, but we're going to go to the God who has all the prayers and all the answers, all in his heart, and he's busy. If I would stay close enough, he's doing. Thank you. Be still and know that I am God. We'll pray. And we're able to say thank you in our heart. God, thank you. Thank you very much. And our God